Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, everybody. This is Reaching Out Radio International. I'm Apostle, Prophet, Evangelist Edward Eberle. I'm the host of the program, God's Hour of Truth. This evening, I'd like to welcome everybody here in the United States as well as around the world. I know you've came to hear what God has to say and what he has to say to you, and that's really why we're all here, to hear what God is saying to us personally. You know, anytime I go to a church or whatever I'm doing, listening to another minister, whatever is happening, I always sit there with expectation of what God is going to speak to me about. You see, it's a personal, individual thing. Don't think collectively when you're hearing the word preached or taught, or don't think about somebody else. Unless God lays somebody on your heart, always consider that word for you. What is God saying to me? What's he trying to show me? What is he teaching me? What's he want me to do? What's he correcting me about? Always leave that word come into your heart, into your mind, and your thought. Allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you through that word. Okay? Before we get into the word tonight, let's ask the Lord to bless this word, okay? And just bless this evening as we have the short program tonight. Well, I call it short. We call it God's Hour of Truth, and sometimes it lasts about an hour, sometimes a little less, sometimes a little more. Let's look to the Lord in prayer right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity to share your word again. Father, we recognize and know that your word is truth to those of us that receive it and make it part of our lives, understanding it and applying it to our life. Father, I would ask as you send forth your word tonight, you promise us and you tell us it will not come back void, but it will go forth to the intended purpose and come back in that way, Father, it will achieve what your plan is for that word. I ask you to give me the words to say that would go forth, that won't come back void, but will penetrate the hearts of every listener tonight and make those changes they need to have made in their life for salvation, for healing, for deliverance, for direction, for correction, instruction, whatever it might be. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ that your word would go forth tonight, touching everybody is expecting. And Father, for everything that's accomplished, we'll give you all the praise and all the glory, for it's in the name of Jesus we pray. And we thank you, Father, for what you're going to do this evening, in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen and amen and amen. Okay, tonight, we just finished a three-week series up last week, and we're going to do a single program tonight. It's not a series, it's a single program, a single teaching, and it's called Run Towards Your Roar. Run Towards Your Roar. And that title, you'll say, what's that really about? Well, our text is really taken from 1 Samuel 17, verse 1 through 51, even though I'm not going to read all these verses, but it's regarding David and Goliath. It's really based on that, and there's things that happened in there that we can learn from, that we can apply today, that we will be able to run towards our roar. Now, what is a roar? Well, what we consider it, the world and many people say it's the problems you have in your life. But first of all, don't say that you have problems. You have challenges. Because when you say that you have problems, it's like saying there's things in your life that just hinder your life and that's it. But when you say that you have challenges, well, then you realize you have an opponent there with challenges, but then you have a place to turn to. And one to turn to, and that's Jesus Christ and his word to us. And therefore, you're going to overcome those challenges, you see. A challenge you overcome, you face challenges, you see. But if you say problems, you have a tendency not to face them. You have a tendency just to just kind of sweep them under the mat and just kind of live with them. In other words, I'm going to have to live with this. But we don't have to live with challenges. We overcome challenges, you see. It's through the Lord that we overcome everything. It says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So we have the greater one within us and through us and helping us. We have the Holy Spirit's power within us. We have power. We have authority. Authority that God has given us over this earth. And authority that gives us the ability to do whatever it is, you see. We have authority to do it, and we have the ability to do it. Not our ability, but God's ability through us, you see. Okay. Now, David, when he faced his challenge with Goliath right there, he had two things going for him right there. And I, really, this will tell you. He, You know, if we make a statement, I'm going to run towards my challenge, and that's exactly what David did. But it's not just in our saying it, but it's a mindset, and we must have a foundation, or otherwise it's a meaningless word, you see. It's, first of all, a mindset and a heart set that we have a foundation based upon it. Then we can say it boldly, I'm running towards my roar. We face those challenges, you see. It's not just meaningless words. And many people today will quote scriptures and quote things, but yet there's no meaning in their hearts and their minds with those words and with that scripture. Those scriptures aren't just meant for you and I to quote. They're meant for you and I to act on, to act upon them, you see. They are useless unless we apply them to our lives, you see. We must apply God's word to our life and our lives in order to receive the results from them. And this is what really David did in his actions there, which we'll learn from. Okay, you and I must learn to face challenges and not run from them. Believers, unfortunately, and most people, don't really face the challenges of life. They just kind of coexist with the problems, whether it's physical problems, financial, mental problems, problems of fear, social problems, family problems, marital problems. You name it. You could name all types of things that are not problems or challenges, but that's what they would call them, problems. I have problems, you see. But these are all challenges, you see, whether they're physical, spiritual, or mental. They're challenges to you. And God gave you and I the answers to overcome those challenges in His Word, you see. And you and I need to take His Word and believe that Word and act upon that Word that we win the challenges like David did over Goliath. You and I have to take that approach to it, because if we don't, it's just going to stay with it. It's not going to just go away from us. We have to deal with it. Okay? Before you really deal with that challenge and are bold and you run towards that challenge is something you must recognize. You must have assurance that you can meet the challenge and have the victory. And that comes from knowing that you know in your knower in your heart. And the only way we can have that is knowing the Word of God and what the Word of God says about the situation or circumstance that we are in, you see. So we need to fill ourselves with the Word of God and have the Spirit of God fill with His Spirit within us, His Spirit fill within us, knowing the Word of God, and then realizing it's not you and I that are facing that challenge ourselves, but we have the greater one within us, and He can overcome the challenge. God's strength is made perfect in our weakness, according to 2 Corinthians 12:9. His strength is made perfect. So you see those problems eradicate. They leave as you apply His Word and act upon that Word and stand fast until they leave. That's the purpose of the Word of God. You know, in 2 Peter 1:3-4, and I quote this many times because this is pertaining to each one of us. We have everything in this life that pertains to life and godliness and the hereafter. God has given us access to everything, so therefore there's no unsolvable problems in our lives. They're all answerable by the Word of God. With God, all things are possible, and we must look at it with that approach. It's God's Word that says all things are possible with Him. All the promises of God are yea and amen. That means yes and so be it. Yes and so be it, it means. So if we have a right heart when we apply the Word of God to our life and we apply faith and we continue to stand fast no matter what happens, it would have to come to pass. Or in other words, God's Word wouldn't be true. Think about it once. When we face something, if we face something according to the Word of God, a challenge that comes our way, and we take Scripture and our heart is right, our faith, we have our faith in Him, believe in Him, and we speak that word, believing in our hearts, and we continue to stand until it becomes a reality. It has to happen. Now, you can negate that by getting away from that and speaking negative words, because death and life are in the power of the tongue, Proverbs 18:21. But we have to continue with that positive mindset and that positive attitude, you see, and not use any fearful words or words that are away from what we're believing for, you see. And this is where we have to stand. Only speak God's words. You know, Jesus, what did He do when He was tempted of the devil? Remember when He was in the mountains in that 40-day fast before He went out, really on His ministry? What happened? Well, the devil spoke to Him, but He answered the devil by the Word of God, didn't He? He didn't communicate or say negative words or anything like that. He answered by God's word. And that's how you and I have to respond when we have feelings after we apply our faith towards something. It doesn't seem to be manifesting. It seems to be going south. It seems like nothing's happening. God's not hearing me. He's not listening to me. Well, you have to make sure, first of all, like I said, that you have a right heart, a right attitude. It's according to the word of God that you're speaking positive things. And you're walking in obedience to him. That's all you need to do. And if you're sure of that, you'll have a witness in your heart, even though you might feel like everything is just going south. But yet you have a witness to your heart that you're okay, but yet this thing doesn't seem to happen for you. Stand fast. Stand fast because it will happen. It has to happen. Now, if there's something wrong with your relationship or you're doing something wrong and it's corrected, then what's going to happen is he'll show you that. Because I pray and ask for things, believe for things, but then I keep open. Is there something I need corrected on? Maybe I'm going about this wrong. Is there something I need to say, something I need to do? Always keep your spirit open for correction from the Lord. Always keep open. And if you don't get anything in your heart but peace in your heart, don't try to create something or manufacture something. Just allow God to do what he wants to do. And if you do that, you'll be at peace. You're not struggling for anything. You're just standing. You're not struggling. You're not trying to make yourself good enough. You're worthy of it, you see. God has given us that. He's given us these promises. All he wants us to do is praise him, love him, stand fast, obey him, and trust. That's what he wants. He wants us to live for him, doesn't he? So that's the approach that you take towards everything, everything in life, everything in this life. Now let's see what the setting is here with David and Goliath right here. We're going to read 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 1, 2, and verse 3. And that'll give us the location of knowing where he's at. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Soko, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Soko and Azekah and Ephes Deminim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. There was a valley between them. Okay, we see in those three verses that the Philistines were on one end of the mountain, and of course Israel was on the other side, and there was a valley below. So they were divided, right? Okay, Goliath, that was the champion of the Philistine camp, he defiled Israel. He literally cursed them and just badmouthed them, I guess you'd say, in this world today, and told them that they were to choose a man to fight him. And he said if he was killed by the Israeli, he said then the Philistines would serve Israel. But if he killed the man that was coming against him, then Israel would serve the Philistines. Now, that was quite a challenge, but there wasn't anybody wanting to take him up on that because he was a giant. He was a big man. In the Bible, and what it really tells us in history, he was either 6'9" or 9'9". Some say it was 6 cubits and a span, which is 9'9". Other scholars in writings and things will say 4 cubits and a span, which is 6'9". But I have a tendency to believe it's 9'9" because he was a giant. 6'9" is very tall, but 9'9" is a giant. So what happened, David got wind of this. He heard this. It made him really mad because he saw there was a cause that was needed to be addressed, but nobody would address it there. They were all fearful of Goliath. So David made a statement. He said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that should defy the armies of the living God?" What that really would mean to us today is we see people, and it angers me, and I know it angers most people. If we hear somebody cursing the Lord and making fun, mocking him, and saying things like that against him, they are unsaved people, just like that uncircumcised really meant that his heart was with God. You see, circumcision was one of the things that they came to the Lord with. They were supposed to do, the Israelites. And they recognized him as uncircumcised. In other words, his heart was not right. He was a heathen, and he would badmouth or talk against God's army. And that made David very angry. So he came out and said that. So he recognized, first of all, God was his God, and he didn't want to hear bad talk about him. This angered him, and he was willing to stand up for him. And, you know, there's a scripture today for you and I when we hear these things going on. Ephesians 5:11 says to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but reprove them. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but reprove them. Ephesians 5:11. And many today will not say anything. They'll let things go, and they won't stand up for what is right. They'll leave the world come in and do anything they want to do and make no stand against it. And that's bad. That's wrong, because, you know, the devil's coming out using his people now boldly, saying what they believe, what they're going to do, what their intentions are, and their ungodly things that they want to do. They're out of the park. They're over the wall and everything. Most of these things are abominations. Or 20 years ago, you would never even heard words like that, but now it's coming full force. So what are you and I supposed to do in the world today when these things happen? We need to stand up for Jesus, don't we? We need to confess that word, be bold like David was there. What do you mean, these things that you're saying, world? My God is Jesus Christ, and he's the only one. He's the only one. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. He's the only name under heaven whereby we must be saved, according to Acts 4:12. He's my all in all. He is a righteous God. He's a God of love. He's the real God. He's the only God. And when people come out with the negative things, we need to point out that these things are wrong. We need to recognize these things and stand up for them, because if we allow people to get up and speak in the wrong way, the bad way, they're going to keep doing it, and they're going to become stronger and stronger because they don't have any resistance. So you and I have to make a confession before the Lord. You know, we're to witness for the Lord, and he said, if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father. If you don't, I won't. So we confess Jesus Christ before man, not just in witnessing and getting people saved, but when we face those that oppose him in principles, the things that are really they're trying to change the world with, we need to stand up and say no. And you see, many people are failing to do that. They don't want to get involved. And a lot of times today they say, I don't want to give up politics, or I don't want to get involved with this or that. The world no longer is politics. It's right and wrong, good and evil. That's what it is. It's no more political. It's principles. In fact, it never was or never should have been considered politics. It should be what principles do these men and women stand for? What do they stand for, you see? That's what we have to go by. And if they don't meet the standards of God's word, they shouldn't be voted for. They should not be supported. You don't support people who are doing things that are contrary to God's word, because if you do, what happens is God holds you accountable. And the Bible also tells us if we know to do good and don't do it, it's sin. He tells us that in James 4:17, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. And if you're led by God, if you're a spirit-filled Christian, if you try to support people like that, you can't tell me that the witness of the Holy Spirit in your heart that you are doing wrong isn't in there. Because I know if I go to do something wrong, say something wrong, the Holy Spirit corrects me, and I sense it. I know I'm doing wrong, you see. So if you really are genuinely following the Lord, you will not support anything or anybody doing things that are abomination unto the Lord. I hadn't intended saying this tonight here, but the Lord must have wanted it said, because we need to stand for God all the way. If we don't stand for him all the way, then we stand for him none of the way. And he doesn't want a haphazard type way of serving him. He wants us to go 100%, give our all in all to him. Okay? What happened after this? David went up to Saul, his brothers were there, and they kind of laughed at him. They said, oh, he's just a kid. You can't fight that man, that big man, that warrior. They just didn't take him seriously. You wouldn't have a chance. Now, David, for his age right now, he was under 20 years old, because what happens when you're 20, you're old enough to go to war and fight. They considered him a young man or a kid, a lad. So he was under 20. So some places say he's around 16, maybe 18 years old. And so he was very young. He was probably a teenager. But he wasn't taken seriously. And many times, you know, when you set out to do things for the Lord, people try to talk you out of or discourage you from it, don't they? Many times it's a great thing that God calls you to do, or things he calls. You'll have those people that are doubters, and they'll try to say, oh, you can't make this. I've known people who tried this before. It didn't work. You don't have the money. You don't have the talent. You don't have this. You don't have that. It's not going to work. People are not going to buy this. You'll hear that, won't you? Well, that's what God thrives on, is having people do things that everybody else says, this can't happen, this can't happen. Because he shows his strength in weakness. He confounds the wise with the foolish. He confounds the wise with the foolish. And those that are big, he confounds their minds with those that are small. He makes big out of small, and makes small, big small, and he makes small big. In other words, it's the opposite way around. He turns things around because they recognize this isn't a man-made thing, but it has to be beyond man, and that's where he gets the glory for it. So we have to realize that when we're called for something, we don't really talk to very many people about that thing. Sometimes nobody, other times he'll have somebody we can send, he can send us to, or them to us. So we need to be careful who we share things with, because it might be the wrong person. They might be against us. They might even pray against us in that. So you need to be careful who you share things with. People are going to aid you and help you and encourage you, is who you want around you. You don't want people who will try to discourage you or bring you down or not compliment you and help you, you say. That's the type of people we need around us. Too often there's people that are having people around them that are not really doing anything for them. They're just bringing them down, but they've been with them so long, or their friendship with them, they just don't want to break off with them. They don't want to hurt them. But, hey, I'd rather hurt that person than be hurt myself, and most of all hurting or affecting God and not being able to fulfill what I'm called to do, you see. So we have to be careful of the company we keep. It's not company that's going against us, but company that's helping us. Okay. What happened next was he told Saul about his victory in God with the lion and the bear, and we'll have victory over Goliath also. So just think how old he must have been. He defeated a bear and a lion. He was probably about 16, 17 at that time, so he was younger yet, because that happened longer ago. So he was probably a young teenager, maybe a little younger. And can you imagine defeating a bear or a lion? He's a mighty warrior. David was a mighty, mighty warrior. Now that reminds me, when I think about that, when I'm challenged by things and to do things, I think about past victories, things that happened, and the impossible that God did. Sometimes the Holy Spirit lets bring it back to your memory. Other times it's really in your heart. It's grounded pretty much there. But he thought of past victories, you see. He used that to help build his faith and confidence, defeating Goliath. He recognized, I had victories with God before. He gave me the impossible. He fulfilled the impossible through me, and he's not going to stop now. He's going to do it with Goliath also. He had that kind of an attitude. So you and I need to look at things that way, that our past victories, if we look over the years, especially if you've been around a lot of years, served a lot of years, look at all the victories that he's given you and things, physical victories. Maybe you were almost killed. Maybe you had financial victories, healing in your body victories, victory in your ministry, ministering to others. All the great things that God did through you that you knew was not you, but it was the mighty Heavenly Father working through you in the name of Jesus. It brought forth results in your ministry, in your life, spared your life. Maybe it healed a sick child that was at the point of death. You can name a million things, and you saw the hand of God working, you see. You see his perfect hand working in your life and through your life, and he honors his word. So that gives you confidence, even just thinking about it. So always consider as you go forth, God never failed me before, and he's not going to fail me this time. All right. Here's another item with David. We're speaking of things that happened in this confrontation right here in 1 Samuel 17, verse 1 through 51, that some of the little nuggets there that David went by that enabled him to have the victory. And that's what we have to consider in our life too, you say. There's things in here that enables you and I to put to practice today that we're going to see, we're going to be able to kill our Goliath too. He was given Saul's armor. That's the fourth thing. I have seven things down here that really you can pull out from that that's going to help you and I walk in a victorious life and overcome the things that challenge us. He was given Saul's armor, but he didn't prove it. So he took his armor and a sling and five smooth stones against those seeking revenge on him, such as Goliath's four brothers, which hasn't been proven. But also it's been said that he had four brothers, because you might be wondering, why in the world did he have five smooth stones? Well, after he killed Goliath, he had people who were coming against him probably for revenge. And a lot of times they equate these four stones for the brothers. Now, they aren't exactly sure how many brothers Goliath had, but for those who had come to take revenge on him, he had these other four stones. They have to use the first stone on Goliath. Now, he was given that armor, and that was very successful for Saul. He used that armor as a successful warrior also. But stop and think. Saul was a fighter one way, David another. And you see, just like using myself, I can't go and do things like maybe somebody else, another man or woman does, and have the same victory that they do. Because there's a way and there's armor that I'm to take, you see. There's armor that I'm to take. There's a way that I'm to do it, what I'm to use, how I'm to use it with my personality, with my attitude, with everything about me that God wants to use it, that I'll have the victory. But if I try to take and pattern after somebody else, what's going to happen is it's not going to work. The anointing is upon them when they do things the way God wants them to do it. And when you try to mimic somebody else, that anointing will not come with it. The only anointing that will come on you is what God directs you to do the way he wants you to do it. So never try to mimic somebody else. That reminds me, when I think of mimicking like that, like the Elvis Presley impersonators. A lot of people try to impersonate Elvis Presley, but nobody can really be who he was, what he did. They're just impersonators. And you never want to be an impersonator in your life for Jesus Christ. You want to be an original. Because you're an original. You might start something else that never even happened before. A thing in ministry that's never been done before. You might be the originator of it. So always do what God has called you to do, the way he called you to do it. If you don't know another man or woman that ever did it, or you don't know anybody's doing it now, do what he directs you to do, because in obedience to that, that's what's going to lead you to victory, because you're going to do the best you can do for yourself, you see. In other words, don't try to be competitive with anybody. Anyone we try to use, we don't try, we use an example of Jesus, being like Jesus. But be the best you that you can be. Don't be the best, I'll better somebody else, I'll look better than she is or he is or something. No, never consider that. Just be the best you can be, improving day by day, wanting to look more like Jesus. That's what the whole goal is right there. Many people, unfortunately, sometimes aren't satisfied with themselves or what they're doing. They see the grass appears to be greener for somebody else on the other side. That's not true. Thing is, you don't know what the grass is on the other side, and that isn't your grass to begin with. Your grass has been given to you. You already have what God has given you, and he wants you to use it, you see. So in doing this, you're going to find not only contentment, but you're going to see fruit from it. It'll be fruitful. You'll have peace with it. You'll become proficient at it. You'll know that, hey, God has me doing this or God has me doing that. I'm more proficient as I see more fruit by doing this. You're going to recognize that it's your nick, as they say, or your peace in life or whatever you're called to do. But always go for that. Learn those things. Learn what you are, what you do. Learn to see, where am I used the most? What do I feel most comfortable with? What do I sense here? What do I sense there? How is God using me the most? You have to take a look at yourself sometimes and ask the Holy Spirit to show you and to guide you and to do what he wants you to do, because in that you learn what you're called for, what your greatest thing that you can do, and what he wants you to do and what he wants you to build on. He wants to strengthen your weaknesses. He wants to make your weaknesses strong, and he wants to take your strengths and make them stronger. He's building you. He's perfecting you. But it must be what he's created you to be. You don't create yourself. You are walking in obedience to him as he creates you, you see, on that wheel that he has, the potter's wheel. And you're going to become great in God if you follow him that way, because he has plans for you to exceed and excel, not to fail, not to be some just little old person here, little old person there. Nobody's a little old, unimportant person. You see, it's almost like people that get recognition. A lot of times people say, wow, look at the recognition they have. Look what they're doing. Wow, I like to be like that. Did you ever consider a bridge when you think of that? You can look at the Golden Gate Bridge or some great bridge, and you see that. That's beautiful. Some of these bridges are beautiful. But do you realize if those bridges didn't have the things underneath them that hold them up, the rails and the concrete and all the structure underneath it, you and I don't see. We just see that. We don't see what's underneath supporting those bridges, do we? And the thing about that is, without those, there wouldn't be any bridge there. That would be completely falling down. So they are just as important as the bridge themselves. They're every bit as important as the bridge because they are needed too. So you're not something that doesn't amount to anything or you're just kind of a trivial thing, but the important thing is that bridge. No, the important thing is the whole thing ever because it all makes one thing. And we are important as individuals because we're all puzzle parts of Jesus Christ. So therefore, you're just as important as me. I'm just as important as you. And I don't care if you're a world-renowned minister or if you sweep floors and janitor in the church. You're every bit as important. We just have different callings, different things we do. But the name of the thing is to do the greatest you can do in that calling, what you're called to do. Do it to your best ability and what God will show you to do and work at in your life. And that's what really counts. It isn't the size of your calling. It's the obedience to your calling and making it as great as you possibly can, you see. That's what God intended for us, that people get off the track of the grass on the other side. And that's a trick of the devil. So don't leave that thing happen to you. Okay? David told Goliath that he came to him with a sword, spear, shield. But he said, I've come to you in the name of the Lord God of the army of Israel that you defiled. He told him, he said, I come in the name of the Lord. So right there, what a confession. I didn't come in my might, my strength as a man with a weapon or just even a slingshot or anything that I had. But I come to you in the name of the Lord because he's fighting this battle through me. He's fighting this battle. I'm not fighting this battle. You're a lot taller than I am. You're a lot more skilled. You're everything more than me. But you're not fighting me. You're fighting against God. You're fighting against God. Now, Goliath thought, hey, this is just a little guy here. I'm just going to wipe him out just like that. But where a lot of people don't consider today, and it's going on in this world sometimes right now, they don't consider that God is behind certain people doing things, and they will attack certain people, not realizing they're going against God. In fact, in the scripture, Gamaliel was the teacher for Apostle Paul. He was a great man of wisdom, teacher. And what happened, you know, they were going to string up Peter and all the apostles. They were going to do things to them because they didn't like what they were preaching. They were against it, you know, the Pharisees and the chief priests and all. And Gamaliel told these men, he said, look, fellas, he said, there's people that came here before and bragged on things. They were going to do this, do that, and they tried to put themselves there. And he said, nothing happened. They just eventually went away. They diminished. But he said, if you fight these men like Peter and these men, if you fight them, you could be fighting against God. So just let it alone and just leave nature take its course, so to speak. And that's true. If you go to do something and God not called you to do it, it's not going to work. But if God called you to do something and then somebody interferes with you to disrupt that, you are fighting against God. And that's a dangerous place to be, folks. That's a dangerous place to be. So we have to consider that all the time because you might be fighting somebody that God called to do something there, and you're giving them a hard time, a rough time. And when you do that, what's happening is you are fighting against God, and sometimes God will take people out. I mean, he'll take their lives from them. But that's a good way to leave this earth pretty quickly because we're in a day that I sure wouldn't want to be fighting against God. So keep that in mind, and that's really what it was and what it is because he knew that he had the victory because God's on my side. And could Goliath defeat God? Of course he couldn't. He knew that. He had confidence in his God. He had assurance in his God. He was bold in his God, wasn't he? And that needs to be you and me today, in this world today. We need to stand up like that to the Goliath's personal lives, the things that challenge us, and the things that are challenging our country, the things that are challenging that are from the devil against us, in any way that we can do something about it. We need to stand like David did. We need to be a warrior, folks. In fact, we're in the army. We are warriors. We're soldiers of the cross. And soldiers have battles to fight, and we fight the battle of faith. We don't fight principalities and devils, and we don't fight people. But we fight the battle of faith, don't we? And when we fight the battle of faith, that's simply making the word of God a reality in our lives and through our lives to others, you see. Making the word of God happen to us and through us. And that's where the battle comes in, to stand on that word, doing that word, and the opposition comes in. But we must stand because God's word's true, folks. It's true. Okay, the next thing, David declared victory. that it was the Lord's battle, and they would know that the God, he was the God of Israel. All right? And that really suits for the day we're in, too. Because how many people are fighting? How many people are really fighting the battle of faith and fighting to stand up for things of God? God wants us to show him through, he wants to show himself through us. And the only way he can show himself through us is if we stand up, fight the battle, believe his word. He'll work through us and do the supernatural, the great things, the miraculous things that they'll know very well it wasn't you or I doing it. They'll know it had to be God because, hey, this man, this woman can't do this. What do they have? What is going on here, you say? What's happening here? They'll recognize that. But how many people are walking in the power of God? You know, we demonstrate Jesus, which I spoke of a time just recently, the fruit of the Spirit. In fact, within the series, the fruit of the Spirit was Jesus' personality. The gifts of the Holy Spirit were his abilities. And we need to walk in those fruits and have a fruitful life in the realm of what we are, our character, our being. Be that way. We must have good character, integrity, the fruit of the Spirit. They must see that within us. Then we must demonstrate the power of God through us, whether it's healing, deliverance, people being set free, miracles, all things. And the gifts of the Spirit, if he uses these gifts through us, we must demonstrate these gifts to the world, to people. They'll see that our God is a real God. What we believe isn't dependent on our abilities, but it's dependent upon the Word of God. The kingdom of God is not in word, but in demonstrations of power, the word tells us. The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. In power. Demonstrations of power, of reality. Okay? Now, what did David do as the last thing he did? Well, it tells us that he ran towards Goliath. He didn't kind of whoop there with his head hanging down and just nervous and fearful and shy and just, oh boy, I hope you're with me, Lord. Oh my, I'm facing this big giant. He didn't do that at all. He went up there, he ran towards him, and he was ready. He was ready, wasn't he? Now that is a act right there. How would you like to face somebody nearly 10 foot tall, and you were young like that, about half his size probably in height, and then he was there with all this armor and everything, and you had a little sling with five smooth stones. But yet, that was the armor that he was equipped with, and he was equipped with God. So therefore, he said, let's get this thing over with. I'm tired of this guy belittling the armies of our living God. I want to get rid of this one, and then the Philistines will serve us. Well, what happened then, when he hit Goliath, now in history, what happened was he got knocked down, Goliath. And when David actually went up to him, it was said, it's not in these scriptures right here, but it's been said, and I really believe it's true, because when he asked him, he said, Goliath, what did you see? And that was before he died, before he was ready to cut his head off. He said, I saw an angel. He said, you didn't kill me, an angel did. And you know, that's exactly what happens when we say God's with us to give us the victory in the armies or protect us from this or help us with that or whatever. There's angels that are sent. They're ministering spirits to us. They are ministering spirits to us. So angels take care of business for you and I that we can't take care of. Miraculous things. He uses angels. And I believe he used an angel that day also because he could not have defeated Goliath, but the angel certainly could. And he uses angels to do that, which he showed himself. Now, the men didn't see that. The people didn't see that there in the realm of their physical eyes, but in the spiritual eyes. If your spiritual eyes, if God opens your spiritual eyes, you can see the heavenly beings that are there fighting your battles for you. You and I, by faith, accept that God will do it, even though there's times we can see angels and things. There is people who see angels. But the thing about it is, that isn't the most important thing. The important thing is that you just simply believe it's done. He's taking care of us, whether you see it or not with your spiritual eyes. You accept it by faith, because more blessed are those that receive something by faith than those that actually see it. Because remember, Thomas, doubting Thomas, had to see it with his eyes, and he said, blessed are you, Thomas. But he said, more blessed are those that have believed and not seen it with their eyes. So if you can believe it, if you can simply believe it, that's all it takes. That gets the job done, you see. So this is what happened with David and Goliath. But if you look at that, you know, God so many times in his word will do things that are completely out of the ballpark. He used Peter. Now, Peter was a very unlearned man, very ignorant. It even says there when the Pharisees and Sadducees saw him, they said, this man must have been with Jesus because they're ignorant men. He's ignorant. Fisherman. Now, Apostle Paul was a very brilliant man. He was a scholar. But yet, to show you the comparison of the two of them there, Peter went to the Jews. Paul went to the Gentiles. Now, those men were pretty equal in abilities and power. I know Paul wrote most of the New Testament and say he's the chief of the apostles. But consider Peter, his shadow healed many. I mean, he was a giant for God, just like Paul, mighty man of God. But yet one had great education, one didn't. So that shows you and I, it's not the education we have that gets the job done. Now, I believe in education. I'm not knocking education. But the thing is, if you think, well, I don't have any education, I'm not very smart, I haven't went to school, I haven't this, I haven't that, it doesn't matter what you have or haven't, because what God calls you for, he qualifies you for. It's not by power of might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. That's what his Zechariah 4:6 tells us. So it's through him anyhow, so it's none of your abilities, or otherwise you could glory in it. And God tells us, he said, I'll have no glory in the flesh. Nobody will glory in the flesh. It's all me, you see. It's all me is what he said. No glory in the flesh. So he does the things that you and I can't do that he will get the glory. He didn't want us to do things that they'll say, wow, look at Ed there. He's doing a good job. No. There's only room for one on the throne of heaven. That's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We aren't in the in the heavenlies in that sense, you see. There's only room for God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the heavenlies. You and I are vessels used of God. We have such great treasure in these earthen vessels. So we must recognize, being we have all this treasure in these earthen vessels, that he wants to work through us, that he can be glorified. And that's what happened with David, because right after Goliath was killed, they all took off. They took off the Philistines because they won. You see, Israelites won right there. Their man was defeated. Therefore, they were going to serve Israel. They lost the battle. But you always win when you follow God and what he wants you to do. God never intended for us to lose. And it might look like we lose sometimes. Sometimes things happen, it appears like we have a setback. But yet, as we hold fast, he makes lemonade out of that lemon. It looked like Joseph in the Bible, you know, when he was cast in the pit and everything, those years that he was in jail and everything that he went through, it looked like, wow, this guy, he's done. He might as well just give up. But what happened to him? He became number two in Egypt. Pharaoh was there when it was over him. So you might have a low seat. You might have a hard seat right now. But God has a calling for you, and the only thing you have to do is obey God and just simply believe God and let him lead you, because if you let him lead you, you're going to get to where he called you, because the steps of a righteous man are word of the Lord, right? Now, if you're following the Lord in obedience, where are those steps going to take you to? Defeat? No. They're word of God, and God doesn't lead anybody to defeat. He leads them to victory that you're going to fulfill your calling. So I want to encourage everybody out there tonight, if you're following the Lord, no matter what your situation or circumstances are now, they are temporary and you're coming out of it. They are temporary and you are coming out of that thing to fulfill God's plan for your life and in your life, through your life, your ministry. You're coming out of that thing. But see, that must be your mindset. That must be your words, and you must believe that in your heart. In your heart, in your head, out of your mouth. Then you walk it. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, Proverbs 23:7. As you think in your heart, so are you. And you walk that way, act that way, knowing so that way. And not only is it going to come to pass for you, but you're going to have peace while you're walking that way, in spite of the circumstances or against your life. You'll have peace of God within your heart just by thinking, acting, and speaking that way. Circumstances won't really bother you like they normally would. Matter of fact, your mind will even say to you, how in the world can you be so victorious and happy and speaking to things? Look what you're experiencing. Well, see, that's the devil wanting you to look what you're experiencing and take you off the pathway of God, because he knows that path you're following with God is going to lead you to a victory. It's going to slam him up against the wall and really make him really look bad, you see. And he doesn't want that to happen. So if he can get you off path, But don't let God take you, don't let the devil take you off path. That's what he does, because he tried to get people off there. He cannot do a thing to you when you are following the path of God, obedient to God. He can't do anything unless he gets you out of the way there. If he gets you off that pathway, then he's going to jump you, say. Stay committed, stay focused. Know that you are more than a conqueror through Christ that loves you and what he paid for you. Obey him, and just know that the good times are yet to come. The best is yet to come. And that's a saying. I know a lot of people you hear say that. But didn't he serve the greatest, the best wine last? The latter rain will be greater than the first rain. And we're entering into a time right now like never was before. There's a time of hell hitting the doors like never before that we're seeing before us in a negative. And whenever that comes in, the kingdom like that, he tells in Isaiah 59:19, he tells us when the enemy comes in, like a flood, God raises up a standard against him. And he's lifting up a standard right now, a divine standard that only he can take care of. And he wants to use you and I as part of that standard to destroy the works of the devil and bring the gospel here and win as many of Jesus Christ as we can. That's the plan of God for us. All we have to do is follow him, and we're going to fulfill that plan. Amen? Okay. That pretty much fulfills what I have to say tonight. But recognize what was said here. Listen to what is said and think about it. Think about it. Just take it in your heart and think about it. How am I doing this? Am I in that mode? Am I like that? Or am I in a negative mode and fearful and a woe is me and I'm not going to make it? Oh, what's going to happen here? No. You got to get out of that mode. So I'm going to pray a prayer in closing here before we go any further. And you need to be in that mode, as you saw David right there, what I've been teaching about tonight. You need to be in that. That's not an option, even though you have a choice to be in it or not to be, to be or not to be in that. But yet, if you're in that mode, you're going to please God and you're going to live a wonderful life here on this earth. But if you don't obey God and don't follow him, then you're open for the devil to walk all over you, you say. So we're going to pray now, and we're going to ask God to help us that we are the warriors that he's called us to be, okay? Heavenly Father, as we come before you tonight, these words, Father, I just thank you that the words you gave me to say, and I recognize these words need to be a part of all of our lives, myself and everybody listening, Father, every man, woman, boy, and girl on this earth. Father, I just pray right now that everybody that listens to this message and listens to it in the future will be exactly like you want them to be, mighty warriors for you. And I bind all the forces of hell, all curses, anything that's hindering these people now, I bind them and I cast it out in the name of Jesus. I cast out all doubt, all fear, all curses. I reverse the curses in the name of Jesus. Oh, it's not by power or might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. It's not by your power or might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Spirit of fear is going. Spirit of fear is going. It must go. Spirit of fear has no more residency in your life. Spirit of fear must go, because fear and faith don't mix. Fear is from Satan. Faith is from God. In Jesus' name, fear must go in the name of Jesus. I just bring light by God's word. I just speak light over this airways right now. Light to enter into these hearts of these men and women and boys and girls. Light and life into their hearts. Let your light and life shine in their hearts. Direct them. I ask that the people's lives will be turned around and changed, Father. That they be changed, Father, into what you want them to be. You said in Philippians 2:13 that you work in our lives to do your own pleasure, your own good pleasure. That you work in and through our lives to do your own good pleasure. I just pray that for everybody right now that's listening, that you would continue to work in our lives, do your pleasure in our lives, and make them evident of that. Make them realize that and show them, Father, that you are working in their lives, that you love them, that you care for them, Father. Reveal it to them that they will know within that you are with them, that you are very present help in time of need and trouble, and you are with them. Show yourself to the people. Show yourself in a special way to those that you would, Father, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that you're moving in lives right now, and I speak healing I speak healings in the lives of the people right now, Father. Spiritual healing, physical healing, mental healing, Father. Deliverances from drugs, from alcohol, pornography. And all things that are an abomination in your eyes, Father. Everything it needs to be gone. The house clean. Give them a house clean. Help to clean their temples, their houses, Father. That they will wear robes white as snow, Father, and be there with you and for you, Father. Recognize that they're in good standing with you and being ready to take the steps that you tell them to take, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, and peace now. Let the peace of God rule your heart. I speak peace. I speak peace into the people now. I speak your peace, not as the world gives it. As Jesus said, not as the world gives it. He said, I give my peace to you. And let your peace, Jesus, be in the hearts of these men and women, boys and girls, and each one of us, Father, above all things. Your peace and your love and your strength, Father. We just praise you, Lord. We just thank you. We thank you for your presence and your peace and your love and your joy. We thank you, Father. We receive it. We receive everything tonight that you have for us as individuals. Everything. Everything right now. Our daily bread that you have for each and every one of us now. We receive it by faith, and we thank you, Father. We give you permission, Holy Spirit, to do in and through our lives what you want from this time forward. For we can say to live as Christ, to die as gain. We just give ourselves to you completely right now, Father. Forgive us of our transgressions, of our failures, of the shortcomings, and how we failed you at times. But, Father, we just rededicate our lives tonight. We want to serve you, to please you from this time forth. And we thank you, Lord, because you said if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So now, Father, we ask forgiveness of all things that we need forgiveness for. And, Lord, if there's something in any one of our lives that you need to speak to us about, now is the time, Father. We just believe that you will. The correction will be made, Father. We'll be in right standing with you. Let that be a reality in everyone right now by your Spirit, Father. And we thank you that you are changing lives right now. We thank you are changing lives right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise God, praise God. Felt the presence of God in a strong way here tonight, especially as we close right here. So God is doing a work right now. So let him minister to you after we sign off here also. Let him minister to you because there will be things that he will show you and say to you that are going to make a difference in your life and really get you on track if you're off track and if you're we're on track. It's going to help you to stay on track and be better than what you are right now because he wants to make each one of us better than what we are. We're growing in his grace. Okay, everybody, I'd like to thank you tonight for being here, and I just speak God's blessings upon you. I love you, and Lord willing, we'll be back next week with another powerful message for Jesus. Good night, everybody.